If you follow me on socials, you know I have big news. I've moved, plant friends. I have moved from zone 6B to zone 10B. My husband got an amazing opportunity in Florida, so we have moved to Jupiter, Florida this month. After 4 years of living in the woods in the Catskills, zone 6B, it's a huge change for our family and an even larger change for my plants and my garden. Zone 6B to zone 10B, are you crazy? What a change. What chaos life is these days. I've needed to start calling in the big guns, my friends that are hot climate gardeners, for crash courses on warm climate gardening. And my first thought of who do I talk to discuss hot climate gardening was today's guest, my dear friend, Janie. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. Welcome. If you are new here, my name is Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy while doing so. And if you're a returning guest, welcome home. Welcome back. I'm so honored to be a part of your plant parent journey. And I'm so excited to finally announce that we've moved to Florida. If you follow me on socials, you know, but we moved to Florida. Life is taking turns that we could have never imagined. And it's an opportunity for me to become a beginner again as a beginner hot climate gardener. I've only known zone 5B and 6B my entire life. I've only known New York, winter, summer, spring, fall, and now we are in Florida. It's a whole different game. Janie from Dig Plant Water Repeat is a new friend of mine, and she specializes in hot climate gardening. So I am so excited that she agreed to come on and give us her tips for hot climate gardening. It's so good. She's such an amazing educator. I'm so excited to share this conversation with you. If you have tips for hot climate gardening, if you are a Floridian gardener, please comment on this week's posts on social media and let me know your gardening tips. And also let me know if you have other hot climate gardeners you want me to interview, because I think I will be turning this into a series as it's something I'm learning. So why don't you learn alongside me? Without further ado, here's Janie. Janie, my new plant friend, new most valuable plant friend that I've ever had because of your expertise. Welcome to Growing Joy.
Thank you, Maria. I am so honored and happy to be on your podcast finally. When I was hanging out with you on Cultivate, I was like, can I come on?
I love the progression of our friendship. I feel like we kind of connected in January at a different industry conference. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there was a bit of like, we should be friends. And then, we went back to our lives and whatever. And then I feel like at Cultivate, we were like, okay, we're friends now. We've shared drinks. We've shared a meal. This is official.
Yeah. And how could we not be friends? Like, we're both total plant nerds.
Totally. And we're, for those who can't see, we are identical. We both showed up in really cute denim outfits. We even dressed the same. It's perfect.
Like mines.
I love it. I love it. Well, I love it and I love you. And I particularly love you because by the time this episode comes out, I will have moved to Florida. I'm moving from zone 5B to zone 10B.
Oh, talk about my
a crazy transition.
That is insane. I mean, talk about going from one extreme to the other. I mean,
I know
you're in for it, Maria. You're in for it for sure.
I think I do live in extremes because I feel like this past transition, I went from 500 square feet in the city to 5 acres in the country. And now I'm going from 5B to 10B. Like, I can't do anything just a little bit. I have to be so intense with everything. I can't just have a hobby about plants. I have to like make it my whole personality and my job. So
yeah. Yeah, and that's why we love you, Maria. That's why we love you. You make it so fun. You make everything you do so fun. And I'm so excited to see your new journey in Florida in zone. Like, it's going to be so, you're going to the houseplant mecca. You know what I mean? Like, it's perfect for you. It's going to be so amazing.
I have visions of the lanai, like the outdoor, screened in porch filled with houseplants. But
yes.
I've been thinking so much about as I move here, one of the biggest tips I give people when they move garden zone is make friends with local gardeners, join a local garden society. Like, it's the people who know what they're doing who's going to teach you. Yes, you could read books, but it's really about talking to people who have experience. And you are
the hot climate gardener. That is kind of your niche. That is kind of what you do. So for maybe houseplant people or people who might not know your really epic YouTube channel, do you want to give us a brief introduction to you and all the content that you create?
Yeah. Thank you. So my name is Janie. And back in, I think it was 2021, I started a YouTube channel called Dig Plant Water Repeat. And the reason why I started it is because my husband got annoyed listening to me talk about plants all the time.
I can relate.
So I had to have some type of outlet because I was obsessed with gardening at the time. I was outside every single day, which a lot of people were during the pandemic in 2020. I was working in healthcare and it was an escape for me. It was something that I could do to take my mind off of all the stress that was going on in our world, basically. And luckily, I had dabbled in houseplants before. And so I kind of knew a little bit, you know, about propagation and watering and all that kind of stuff. And right January of 2020, we bought our new home in California. And so it literally just went crazy after that. And I loved it. And I started my channel. And I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to talk. I'm just going to do one video or something like that. And it just kept going. I enjoyed it so much. It brought me so much joy to film and to share my experience of gardening in California with everybody else that it just became my life. I quit healthcare and now I am a full-time content creator mainly with my YouTube channel, but I'm taking after Maria. I do have a new podcast called same name, Dig Plant Water Repeat. And I am just having so much fun. So
talk about your location, because you really have kind of carved this niche out for yourself as planting in hot climates, dry climates. So talk a little bit about where you live and what your garden experience looks like.
Yeah. So I live in Northern California. We are zone 9B. And I always say I live in a very hot and a very dry environment. And so a lot of plant companies are located in lower zones and more humid zones. And I feel as though sometimes a lot of us in the higher zones get left out and don't get the advice that we need. And when I actually thought about starting a YouTube channel, I knew there was nobody that I was watching that was in my higher zone. So I knew there was a vacuum there of somebody needs to be there and somebody needs to give some advice to all of us who live in the hotter zones, because gardening is different in a hotter zone. And I am starting to, you know, I'm realizing that more and more and more, because a lot of my audience is people in zone 8, zone 9, zone 10. And they say to me, I'm so glad you're talking about this. Nobody else. I had no idea. I had no idea I had to do, you know, water that way or fertilize that way or mulch that way. And it's just something that I've accidentally leaned into because there was such a vacuum of information out there. And so I always tell people that there is a difference in USDA zones. I am zone 9, but I am a very, very dry zone 9. And Maria, you are moving to Florida, which is zone 9 and 10, but that's a very, very humid zone 9 and 10. Yeah. So I even go so far as to, you know, like talk about that and talk about the difference between hot and humid and hot and dry and how different plants will work. And one of the things I work with Proven Winners, just like Maria.
Shout out. Yeah. You're the Proven Winners outdoor girl and I'm the Proven Winners indoor girl.
Absolutely. One of the projects I'm working on with Proven Winners, which is such a fabulous plant brand, but again, they are based out of the Midwest. Zone 5, zone 6, you know. And so I'm creating a line called Best for the West. And it's basically all the plants that can handle the hot, dry climate that I live in, and just saying, hey, this plant is going to do great for you. This plant is going to do great for you. Because really, there are a bunch of plants that are just going to thrive in our gardens in a different way that somebody who lives in Illinois or New York or, you know, something like that. And so I'm so excited for you, Maria, to move down to Florida, because you are in for a treat. You are going to be so excited when you see what plants grow like weeds down there in Florida. And just by having a little bit of knowledge of how to best exploit that is really going to, I have a feeling I'm going to get you outside way more than you are now.
Oh, yeah. Is your Best of the West line out yet with Proven Winners?
Not yet. So what I have, you can go online to provenwinners.com and you can look for kind of like my plant list. And I list on
there.
That's
so cool, Janie.
Yeah, it's really fun. And I've written a couple articles about it. And I talk a lot about it on my YouTube channel. And we are working on making it more accessible as kind of a its own line so that people can go into the store and say, oh, there's Best for the West. Just kind of making it super, super easy. So yeah, so it's just the type of thing that, like I said, there was a vacuum. There is this need in on the West Coast, dry, hot, dry areas. And I don't want to leave out Texas because Texas is kind of half and half, half humid, half dry. And it's just the type of thing that there's so many of us in these higher zones and we need to start making noise.
Yeah.
So we can get all the information for gardening and all the fun stuff that we want to do in our gardens.
I appreciate that so much because I feel I've gardened in Zone 6B for my whole life. And even though I'm a novice gardener, my mom was an expert gardener. I've grown up and I know basic frost dates and the plants, you know, just even visually, like all the vegetation that I see on all my neighbors' lawns, like I get that. And I feel like I'm literally moving to a different country when I move to Florida. Like it really is a completely different, you know, we've done episodes on Southwest gardening. Once again, that's a completely different of vegetation with cacti and all the cool stuff that you can do there. So what have been your biggest surprises as you've learned about hot climate gardening? What is it that you hear from your audience the most when you mentioned like, oh my God, I had no idea this is what I'm supposed to do. Like what's the biggest, I guess, misunderstanding or misnomer when it comes to hot climates?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing that I try and tell people is kind of like, it's like a secret. It's like a horribly kept secret, but I just want to make sure that everybody who lives in hot climates knows that when you read a plant tag or when a certain plant is labeled as an annual or a perennial or hardy or anything like that, you have to remember that these plant companies cater to the entire United States.
Yeah.
And they are going to put whatever is meet everybody in the middle, and they're going to put that information on the plant tag. So one of the concepts that I love talking about is the concept of temperennials. And what a temperennial is, it's a annual, it's a plant that is sold as an annual, but it's actually hardy in higher zones.
Mm.
So those of us who live in zones 8, 9, and 10, we need to be looking at these plants as perennials, plants that are going to last for years, and it's worth our while. And it's not going to be a plant that we're just going to put in a hanging basket for a couple months like they do up north, right? And so it's something that I absolutely love. And it's something that I think that is super special for us in higher zones is that we get the benefit of all these beautiful annuals, which annuals are very floriferous. They bloom all the time. Mm-hmm. Annuals are, and I say this in a positive way, but it might not come out positive. Annuals are bred to within an inch of their life. There is so much money behind the breeding of annuals to create different colors, to create different structures, sizes. We get the benefit of all of that. And for a majority of it, we get to use it as perennials. Like for instance,
for your buck, man.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you're moving to Florida, zone 10, and a Supertunia Vista bubblegum, which is one of the most-
Which I have right outside.
Yay!
It was my first Supertunia, the bubblegum. My hummingbirds are obsessed with it.
Yep. So that is sold as an annual, right? Because the majority of the country, the cold winters are going to kill it. But actually a true annual, if you really look up the definition of a true annual is a plant that goes through its entire life cycle in one season, meaning it grows from seed, it grows to a seedling, it blooms, it sets seed, and then it dies all in one season. A petunia, a supertunia, is not a true annual. It is a temperennial, right? Or a hardy annual or a tender perennial. There's lots of different names for it. But basically, if you take that Supertunia Vista bubblegum down with you to Florida, you're going to be able to keep that thing for 3 or 4 years. And it's going to be beautiful.
Will it go dormant and then grow again like a normal perennial? Or will it just be in bloom for multiple years?
So that's the beauty of the breeding of these annuals. These annuals, a lot of them, especially Proven Winners annuals, are bred to be sterile. And so what that means is they never actually set seed. And so they never go to sleep, basically. They just continue blooming because they're special, quote, special. And they keep trying to do what a plant is meant to do, which is set seed. So these plants will just continue blooming and blooming and blooming and blooming. And you will have blooms in the middle of winter that a lot of the other country won't have until June or something like that. It just makes gardening outside so incredibly fun because you can play with it so much. Now, there are plants that are called herbaceous perennials that actually do die down to the ground. It kind of just depends. You kind of just got to look at the plant. And like you said, Maria, go talk to people that live around you and see how the plant acts for them, because everything's going to be different depending on where you live.
The summer brings tons of opportunities to give gifts, whether it's for weddings, graduations, showers, anniversaries, holidays, and what better gift to give someone you love than a personalized Wind River wind chime? Plus, you don't need to leave your house to shop for one. Wind River chimes will deliver the most magical, most thoughtful, and personalized gift straight to the door of your beloveds, because when you use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout, you get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime so you can personalize it for your loved one with a special saying, a memorable date, or a name. For over 35 years, Wind River chimes has been passionately pursuing harmony by delivering wind chimes that help create a peaceful, soothing, and restful environment. And now that we are in the swing of gardening season, enjoy the perfect gardening weather with the perfectly calming and inspiring sound of Wind River chimes. Every night in the summer, I sit on my balcony garden with a drink, just listening to the chimes in the wind, looking at the stars. It's a freaking dream, and it makes an amazing gift for yourself or for someone else. So all you have to do is to go to windriverchimes.com and use code GROWINGJOY at checkout to get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime. They have options of colors and sounds. You can just go on the website and click through and listen to all the beautiful sounds. It's so relaxing. Get it engraved with that personalized name or anniversary date or special message. Head to windriverchimes.com to listen to all of the melodious options and use code GROWINGJOY for a free engraving. No matter what climate you are growing in, you should be using Espoma Organic as your go-to soil and fertilizer brand. Espoma Organic is a 90-year-old family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet. Espoma offers high-quality options for your indoor and outdoor plant collections. Start your seeds in their seed starting mix. Plant those starts up in your garden with their Biotone Starter Plus plant food that helps your plants grow larger root mass, helps them establish faster, helps reduce transplant loss. I can't tell you, I planted two planters, one with Biotone and one without, and the difference in the quality of plants and how lush they are is staggering. You can also use their large array of garden soils, composts, and potting mixes for whatever container or bed you're gardening in and whatever plants you're growing, and feed them with their line of fertilizers called Tones. They have a tone, a specific fertilizer for every single type of plant you could imagine growing. And if you're a houseplant parent like me, keep it simple with their general potting mix for your houseplants and use their liquid indoor houseplant food. You pour it right into your watering can. It makes fertilizing your houseplants so easy. And to top it all off, they have a huge sustainability commitment with 100% solar-powered plant, zero waste manufacturing, and eco-friendly packaging. To learn more about their indoor and outdoor products, visit Espoma.com to see where your local Espoma dealers are, or click the link in the show notes to go to my curated list of Espoma favorites on Amazon. What are other examples of these temp perennials besides supertunias? Any other plants people can get excited about?
Yeah. So lantana. Are you familiar with lantana?
I love lantana. On my YouTube channel, I surprised my sister who was pregnant with a garden, raised bed garden in Florida for her baby shower. And it was, I think, the Proven Winners lantana. It's like yellow and pink. I don't remember the exact name of it, but it was this gorgeous lantana. The minute we planted it, a butterfly flew on it.
Oh,
it was crazy.
Yes.
Talk about a pollinator plant.
I know. It's absolutely incredible. And the thing is that the majority of plant companies will call lantana an annual, because a lantana hardiness zone is, don't quote me, but I want to say it's like 8 or 9 or something like that. And so that means that a light frost is going to kill a lantana, or hard frost is going to kill a lantana. Excuse me. So a lot of the country uses lantana as annuals. And the sad thing is that lantana loves heat. And here where I live, lantana grows as a freaking shrub. It grows 4x4, sometimes
like super big.
Super, super big because it never dies back. Mm. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. So in January, I will have lantana blooms. And that's the same thing for you. In Florida, that lantana that you planted for your sister, that is going to grow and grow and grow. And it's just going to be like a shrub. Here we have lantana, and some people will grow lantanas as standards, like lollipop trees, you know, like they do with roses, which is something that you can only do if you are growing a lantana as a perennial or, you know, even a shrub, if you want to call it, because it gets big. And the rest of the country, their lantanas get tiny, like, you know, 12 inches across or something like that. And that's about it. And so that's something that if you didn't know, if you looked at the plant tag and you read and you thought, oh, okay, this is an annual, that means at the end of my season, I'm going to pull it out and throw it away. If you didn't know that, you could actually just leave it if you're in zone 9 or zone 10, you'd be missing out on this beautiful, beautiful plant. So
that's fascinating and getting me so excited because you've already named two of my favorite plants. Also, the caladiums, you know, the caladiums, the heart-shaped caladiums that Proven Winners has. We planted those for my sister. They've exploded in growth.
Yeah.
They've like tripled in size. I can't believe it. So I'm excited to play with that longer. I have such a short growing season here. I basically have June, July, August, and a little bit of September. And it's crazy for me to think that I might be able to be gardening year round. Wild. Yeah. Wild. Yeah.
And then the crazy thing is, Maria, a lot of your house plants are tropical plants.
Are literally hedging. Snake plants are used as hedging in Florida.
You're going to be able to put them all outside. Like, how excited are you about that? It's insane. And that's one thing that we can't do over here in California because we're so dry. I mean, they can do it, right? But they're not going to be happy. They're going to be kind of crispy, just like caladiums. But you, oh man, I'm so excited for you. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm so excited too. Now, for those who are growing in hot climates, either in your dry climates or my humidity climate, I know that you've prepared a couple of tips for us. So if you are hot climate gardening, I would love like your top five favorite tips that you would give newbies or maybe even, you know, people who are already living in a hot climate and maybe just want to improve their gardening game for gardening in this very unique situation.
Yeah. And just something to think about, right? Something to have in the back of your mind. So the first one we kind of touched on already, and that is don't trust the plant labels.
Yeah.
Now, I feel terrible saying that, especially for working for Proven Winners and loving Proven Winners. It's not the plant company's fault. They can't make regional plant tags for everybody. That would just
Like you said, they're appealing to the most people. And then that's in good faith, right? They're trying to help and support the most people possible. And that's not people in zone 10.
Yeah. So I'll even give another example. There's a plant brand that's actually based out of California called Monrovia. And even their plant tags, you can't always trust, right?
Wow.
Because they are appealing to the masses as well.
Yeah.
So it's not so much, you know, the zones, you have to watch the zones on plant tags, but then also something you definitely need to watch on those plant tags is when they recommend lighting requirements. And this is something, Maria, you're going to have to think about because the strength of the sun differs greatly depending on where you are in the United States. And so Arizona, the southern Florida, parts of California, the sun can be so strong. So if a plant like a hydrangea or like a peony says full sun, it's not for us. It's not full sun for us. It can sometimes even be full shade, like a peony, right? The best thing to do is look at a plant tag, get an idea, and then talk to the people at the garden center and say, hey, is this what you would do? And they should be able to help you if it's a good garden center. You know, I always say go to independent garden centers for sure. They should be able to help you and say, no, I would plant this in part shade or a lot of times we always recommend protecting from the hot afternoon sun. So morning sun is best whenever you live in a hot climate because the hot afternoon sun, it can really scorch your plants. Sometimes if you see a full sun plant like a hydrangea, it might only be able to handle 6 hours of our morning sun and then you got to shade it for the rest of the day. It's too much for it. So not trusting the plant labels, I would say is top advice I have for people who live in hot zones. The next thing that I wanted to tell everyone is about watering. Now, if you're like Maria and you move from someplace that gets rain, I don't know, like once a week, I would say during the summer or every other week, would you say? You guys get rainstorms.
We get a lot of rain, but yeah, it's raining. It's raining right now.
It's raining right now.
We get a couple times a week.
So a lot of people don't have to have irrigation systems in cooler climates, right? They don't even think about it. It is a non-negotiable in hotter climates. You have to have some type of irrigation just in case you're not going to get the rain. Now, Florida is not as bad because it's more humid, but if you live in Texas, Arizona, California, drip irrigation is absolutely huge. You need to do it. And the best advice that I could give you all is to water deeply. And so what I mean by watering deeply is you want to have the plant develop a really, really big root system. So if you water shallowly, if you only give the plant like a sprinkle of water, you know, every day or a couple times a day, that plant is going to develop roots on the very, very top of the soil layer. And so if any type of drought conditions or any heat or anything like that occurs, that plant is going to suffer because its roots aren't developed enough to get the water. So when you water slowly and deeply and infrequently, as compared to, you know, frequently and shallowly, then you're going to force that plant. You're basically torturing your plant to get it to develop a big root system. And that's going to help it survive the really, really hot days that we have.
I always find it so interesting talking with gardeners because there's similarities and there's differences between outdoor and indoor gardening. But it's very similar with houseplants. I say water thoroughly, but not frequently, because you want to mimic what a tropical, you know, we're having a rainstorm right now. Like, you're going to drench a plant and then let it dry out. And it's exactly that, because you need your houseplants to stand up straight and not totally topple out of their plant, out of their pots as well. You don't want that shallow root system. So that makes total sense. And also, do you recommend watering at the root zone, right? You're watering the roots. You're not watering the leaves of plants.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, yes, you 100% should. However, for those of us who live in dry climates, sometimes spraying the foliage is beneficial because there's a lot of pests that like dry foliage.
Okay.
And so by every once in a while spraying the foliage, you can keep pests like spider mites away. So in general, 90% of the time, absolutely water down low. That's why I really like drip irrigation versus sprinklers. Yeah. Because drip irrigation will go right to the root zone. You won't have any evaporation. Sprinklers, you'll have evaporation. You'll lose a lot of the water and you're going to get the leaves. And so that can cause some funguses and stuff like that. But every once in a while, when especially like now, like it's the last day of July and it's dry, my plants need a spritz on their foliage.
So what does your drip irrigation look like? You have your whole garden set up on drip irrigation and then that irrigation is set up on timers?
Yes. I have nothing that's not on drip irrigation at this point because everything has to be watered right now. Well, we've had really, really bad heat waves for the past month. So we've actually increased it to watering three times a day, which is absolutely crazy. That's crazy. So normally during the heat of summer, I would do twice a day, morning and evening, and then spring and fall. And really for us, we're really dry. So even I'll leave it on every once in a while for during the winter. Watering in the morning is absolutely best because you want to avoid the evaporation of that water during the day. So
that's crazy. I mean, I think about I've watered my plants like three times this summer because it's rained so much that I'm like, the rain's got it.
They're fine. It doesn't compute. When you say that, that doesn't compute in my mind.
It's you're like that makes
wait, what?
crazy.
Yeah. So along those same lines, the next tip that I have for those of us who live in hot climates is the same thing, protecting that precious water. Like, you can see how important water is for our plants because it's so hot and it evaporates so quickly. So that's one of the reasons why you should water before, really right before the sun comes up. That's the time that you should water if you can. And then mulch. When I say mulch, well, so I trained to be a master gardener. And in my master gardener training course, we were not allowed to just say mulch. We weren't allowed to say, and mulch your plants. You had to say it three times, mulch, 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 because that was how important mulch was to our gardens. So I always tell people mulch, mulch, mulch.
Because
Yeah. And it really ingrained it in my brain. And I say that all the time on my YouTube channel as well, is we all say mulch, mulch, mulch. And the purpose of that is just to remind us how important that it actually is. And it's important not only to prevent the evaporation of that water which is huge, right? Because you want that water to go down into the plant's root system. But also mulch, a couple inches of mulch will actually regulate the temperature in your soil. So soil is life, right? There's more life in a teaspoon of soil than there is in the United States. You know what I mean? Like, there is so much life in our soil, and that life doesn't like to be too hot or too cold. And so it's super, super important for healthy soil to keep that soil temperature moderate, even. And so that's what mulch does. It basically is an insulator. So on really hot days, it prevents it from getting too hot. And then on really cold days, for those of us who live in cold environments, it's going to prevent it from getting too cold. So therefore,
what do you use for mulch?
So I use kind of like a wood chip mulch. A bark mulch is what I use. The best type of mulch is called walk-on mulch. And when I say best, everybody's different. You know, mulch is a very personal decision.
Because it's an aesthetic decision as well, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So aesthetically, my favorite is black bark mulch. I mean, to me, that's the most beautiful thing. But then again, think of black. Black absorbs
heat.
It's just going to make that soil temperature hotter. So the best type of mulch is what's called walk-on mulch, which is basically thin shards of bark from trees. And that is going to prevent evaporation. It's going to insulate your soil. And then it also is going to slowly break down and actually feed your soil. So it's so important. It's so huge. You have to have any type of mulch is better than no mulch. Mulch is just an opaque layer over your soil. So mulch can be rocks. Mulch can be plastic sheeting, if that's what you want to use for mulch. I don't recommend it, but that still technically is mulch. And so it's just an opaque layer that protects your soil. And so I would say bark mulch, wood chip mulch, walk-on mulch is probably the best choice. Yes, black mulch is the prettiest. And I don't judge anybody that has black mulch because I think it's beautiful.
If you are inspired to garden, or if you are an avid gardener, whether you have acres to grow in or just a balcony, Gardener Supply Company has got you covered with everything you need for successful indoor and outdoor growing. From containers to raised beds, from seeds to plant supports, Gardener Supply Company has everything you need to create your dream garden oasis. They even sell edging and walkways so you can do the entire aesthetic of your garden from soil up. If you haven't heard of them already, Gardener Supply Company is one of my favorite companies to get gardening supplies from. They are a gardening company run by gardeners. For over 40 years, they have been selling garden essentials and sharing helpful advice to make growing easier, more comfortable, and more fun for everyone, no matter what your skill level. You might have seen their gorgeous raised cedar garden beds on my Instagram and YouTube when I did that garden install for my sister this year. Her plants are thriving in these cedar planter beds. My mom also has one of them. They're incredible. Or maybe you've seen their gorgeous trellises and arches all over Instagram. They've been earth-friendly from the beginning. Gardener Supply Company was one of the early providers of organic gardening supplies and humane pest control solutions, and they have always strived for a positive environmental impact through the products they sell, the advice that they give, and the causes that they champion. But don't take it from me, plant friends. I shop on gardeners.com the way I shop on Anthropologie. I love going on the website to see what's new, what's available for my garden. Discover your garden favorites and exclusive innovations at gardeners.com/growingjoy and use code growingjoy for free shipping. Once again, that's gardeners.com/growingjoy with code growingjoy for free shipping.
Take plant friends, there is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free plant parent personality test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, That drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. I love it. Mulch, mulch, mulch. Fun fact about me is the fifth episode of my podcast, I had Joe Lample of Joe Gardner on.
Yeah.
And I was interviewing him. I was like such a newbie. I was still a plant killer at that point. And he was talking about mulch and I literally was like, what's mulch?
Oh, no.
To Joe Lample.
You know what? It just shows you picked the right guest, right?
You got to start somewhere. There's no wrong questions at the Growing Joy with Plants podcast. I love that.
And I love that you left that in your podcast.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know any better. And then, so for the humid gardeners, for the Floridian gardeners, is mulch as important? Because there's probably not as much transpiration because of the humidity in the air.
Yeah. So that is not as huge of a deal. Like, it, you know, obviously it's essential here on the West Coast where we're dry and hot. But it is still important to have mulch in Florida just because of the heat, right? Mm. The strength of Florida's sun is incredible. It's crazy how strong your sun is. And so the mulch is going to protect your soil, and it's still something that I would recommend for you to have for sure, because your plants are going to be happier. Your soil is going to be happier. Everything's going to be happier, but you don't have to worry so much about the evaporation. But it can still occur even with humidity. It just depends on how much humidity is in the air.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. Yeah. What other tips you got for me?
Is there one more? So the next, I actually have two more. The next is, like we already talked about, playing with annuals, right? Mm-hmm. An annual for somebody who lives up north is not going to be an annual for you. So we already talked about that, but check out Lantana. I know. A whole bunch of different types of salvias, petunias. Like, there's so many fun plants.
Are you a dahlia girl?
I love dahlias. Love
dahlias. So there are annuals here. I grew dahlias once. In grow bags. Mm-hmm. I love them. They were the star of my garden. They brought me so much joy. But then I had to dig those dahlia tubers up and like clean them and wrap them in plastic. And I was like, no, never again. I'll just do zinnias.
Yeah.
But now dahlias are perennials, right?
Yep, absolutely. And so that's a good example. That's a fun fact about me. When I started gardening and started dahlias, everybody dug their dahlias up. So I had to, I'm going to dig my dahlias up, right? And so I dug my dahlias up and, you know, cleaned them and divided them and all that kind of stuff. And then it was like, wait, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to do this. I can leave my dahlias in the ground and not pay any attention to them. And they're just going to get bigger and better every single year.
Yeah.
So like, knowledge is power, right?
Yes.
So knowing that you don't have to dig your dahlias up is absolutely huge. So yeah, you're going to have so much fun with that.
Do you garden for landscape aesthetics or do you do cut flowers as well?
I do both. I have a cut flower area in my garden that I have dedicated to cut flowers. And I dedicate it to cut flowers because I'm so obsessed with the aesthetics in my garden. I love how my flowers look, that I need to force myself to plant in a certain area so that I will cut the flowers.
Yeah.
Yet I still don't cut the flowers.
I love it. What are your cut flowers? What's in that area?
Yeah. So I have dahlias right now. I have dahlias. I have zinnias. I have celosia. I have some cosmos. I have sunflowers. I have a lot of really, really beautiful, beautiful plants. And then in the cooler seasons, this is actually, I didn't even write this down, but do you know about the cool flower method?
Yeah, because I just interviewed Garden Workshop. You know, Lisa.
I just interviewed her
and she's the cool. I mean, her whole thing right now is all cool. I'm obsessed with her.
She's the
queen.
That
was one of my favorite interviews.
Her book is insane.
It's incredible.
Like, anyone listening, get Lisa Mason Ziegler's book because
it is. The Cut Flower Handbook. It's what it's called, right?
Well, the one I'm talking about, yeah, is Cool Flowers. I'm
trying. Yeah, to Cool Flowers. That was her first book. Yeah,
Cool Flowers by mm-hmm. Lisa Mason Ziegler is the one. I mean, I reference that book all the time. I love that one. So yeah, so for Cool Flowers for us, we do, you know, snapdragons and asters and stuff like that.
Here's a question, because when is our cool season? Is it the same?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Maria, that's my number five tip. Good
job. Great. Okay. Please tell me.
so my
How
number
do the
five
seasons work.
Please tell me. My fifth tip for those of us who live in warm environments is to know your season, because our seasons are not the same as the rest of the country. Right.
Oh my gosh.
And so knowing your first frost date, if you even have a frost, knowing your first frost, knowing your last frost, knowing when you should be planting things. Like, for instance, a lot of people wind down in the fall and don't really do anything in the fall. They're done with their gardening season. Fall is insane for me, because fall mm-hmm. is the absolute best time for me to get perennials and shrubs in the ground and bulbs in the ground, you know, all that kind of stuff, because the weather's finally cooling down a little bit, but the soil temperature is still warm. And so those are just prime conditions for plants to start thriving. So I plant the majority of my plants in fall, or at least I try to. And that's going to be the same for you in Florida. The Florida growing season.
It's perfect. I'm moving at the perfect time.
To me, Florida's even more than I am. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be out there around Christmas, you know, still gardening.
I don't think we have a frost date. And I know my mom grows tomatoes in February, because I love edible gardening. So mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see what food I can grow in the winter when I would be under 2 feet of snow normally.
Right. So my advice, there's always a Master Gardener program wherever you live. Find your local Master Gardener program and get an edible gardening planting calendar.
Yeah.
And you will see very quickly how different it is based on plant tags or websites or YouTube videos or anything like that. It is completely different, because we can barely grow tomatoes during the summer because it's so hot. But spring and fall, it's all over the place. So, and for you, February, like, congratulations. That sounds delicious in February. You know?
I'm so excited. I can't even stand it.
Yeah. So knowing your zones when you live in a higher, knowing your seasons, just kind of having knowledge and knowing that it's different. We're a different breed. So just knowing that is really going to help you have success in your outdoor garden.
This is amazing. So explain, what does your garden look like? Like, what are you most proud of in your garden? What are the different sections? Tell us everything about your garden.
Yeah. So I actually just moved about a year ago. We've been here about a year, and I moved from a small suburban lot. It was like a tenth of an acre that I had filled to the brim. Mm-hmm. And so I was out of room. So we bought a property that's about an acre, and I've been spending the last year renovating it. And I have some raised beds for cut flowers, raised beds for veggies. The area that I've been working the most on, though, is what I call my orchard garden. When we mm-hmm. moved in, we have two giant orange trees, which are just insane. They're amazing. The best limes from a lime tree that I've ever tasted. Massive fig tree, a pomegranate tree. We have an apricot tree. It's just incredible. I take no credit for it because it was here.
Is it fenced? It's got to be fenced, right? Because you must have so much animal pressure there.
Yeah. It is definitely fenced. Yeah. So in that orchard garden, I decided that was the garden that I was going to do my Best for the West gardening in. So basically every single plant that I plant in my orchard garden or my Best for the West garden is a plant that I know is going to thrive in a hot, dry climate. And so it's a collection of plants that I love and that make the cut for me. And I'm still learning, you know, there's new plants that come out all the time. Like, one of them is called a pineapple lily. And that is a plant that I think will do fabulous for you, Maria, in Florida. I tried it out in my Best for the West garden, and I've realized it doesn't belong. It's, you know, it needs more humidity, right? But then there's other plants like Verbena de la Mina, which is a beautiful, beautiful verbena, purple verbena. And the swallowtail butterflies are obsessed with it. And that is a plant that I absolutely had to put into my Best for the West garden. Another plant that I'm obsessed with these days is called Nyphophia or Red Hot Poker. That's going to be a plant.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to love that plant. And it's just the most interesting. It almost looks like a house plant. It almost looks like, it starts with a B, bromeliad?
Yeah, bromeliad.
Yeah, it almost looks like that, right? And it comes in these bright colors. I have a bright orange one, and they just shoot up. They look like torches. They look like tiki torches, right? And they're so, so beautiful. And the hummingbirds are always on them. And that is a plant that doesn't get enough airtime. Nobody talks about Niphophia. And okay. so that's why we're going to be talking about it. We're going to be talking about Niphophia because it's such a great, great plant to have. And it's so beautiful. And it'll bloom in January for me, which is crazy. You know? Yeah. So there's so many really fun things. And that's probably the area that I'm most proud of right now is my Best for the West garden, my orchard garden, which Maria, you need to come see. Please come and visit me.
Like, as I listen to you talk, I'm just like, I'll be there next weekend. I need to come for a weekend or something and get a tour.
Yes.
And for those who aren't lucky enough that I can just text you and be like, I'm coming to visit, where can people go get the visual, you know, experience of your garden and the audio experience? If you're already listening to Growing Joy with Plants, it would make sense for you to probably go listen to Dig Plant Water Repeat.
Thank you, my friend.
So where can everyone find you?
So for the podcast, it's called Dig Plant Water Repeat. It's everywhere where you can get your podcast. So please go follow and listen to my episodes. You know, I do focus more on outdoor gardening, but I am having Maria on as a guest. So hopefully I'll get some more house plants going on that podcast as well. And then my main channel, my baby is my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I post at least 5 days a week. Sometimes I post 7 days a week.
Which is insane.
It's insane.
I don't understand how you do that.
Yeah. But it's so much fun. So you just go to YouTube and search Dig Plant Water Repeat. You'll find me. And I have... Gosh, I think I have like 700 videos now at this point just because I post so often.
Right, because you post so much.
Yeah. And it's just kind of my journey. It's just kind of taking you through, you know, there's a lot of education and how to do things, but a lot of it is just inspiration. And I always tell people, I hope you have a chance to get in your garden today because just like you say, Maria, mentally, it means so much. Plants mean so much to me. And I just want to share that with everybody that just go stand in your garden. Just go touch a plant. It is such a difference. And so that's the main thing that I'm trying to get across on my YouTube channel is just to inspire people to get outside.
Well, you do such an amazing job. We'll link to everything in the show notes. Thanks for joining me. And I hope this is the first of many conversations that we have about online and offline about my burgeoning garden in Florida. I appreciate you so much.
Yes, I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much, Janie. Go follow her, Dig Plant Water Repeat, her podcast, her YouTube, her socials. I love her. And we really do have an indoor-outdoor vibe kind of going on. I wonder if it would be fun to have another conversation just about the differences and similarities between indoor and outdoor growers. If you think that's a good idea, let me know. Maria at Growing Joy with Maria. Let me know if Janie should come back on the podcast. She's really fun to talk to. Wish me luck on my gardening journey. I'm going to learn so much. I feel like a beginner again. You know, I've been doing this podcast for 7 years and it's wild to feel like a beginner again when it comes to anything plant related. But I'm choosing to not see this as a challenge, but to see it as an opportunity to learn so much more about the plants that a different climate has to offer. So stay tuned. And I hope this episode, if you are a hot climate gardener, helps you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show.
Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.
Plant care is self-care on growing joy.
Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.